The International Festival for Irish Harp celebrates its 34th year this coming weekend. The festival runs from Sunday the 30th of June through until Friday, July the 5th. It will take place at Ungreanon in Termonfeckin in County Louth. The festival will feature performances and workshops from some leading Irish and international harpers, with a particular focus this year on collaborations across different art forms. Amongst those, a collaboration on the opening night between harper Unani Lanagoin and poet Alvin Yarvwy, both of whom are in our Cork studio right now. And Una, you can stop the text by telling me that you are a harper and why you are a harper and not a harpist.
Well, Sean, I'm going to complicate the matter further by saying
you are a harpist.
I'm a person who plays the harp.
All right, fair enough.
To remove myself from that debate. I prefer to be playing the harp rather than debating
whether you're a harper. But the harper is generally associated with the steel string, the Irish instrument, the harpist with the classical instrument. Is that fair enough?
That is a very good definition, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll run with that one for the time being.
But then, Sean, what do you call somebody who plays modern music on a steel string? Or what do you call somebody who plays Irish music on a gut string? I mean, I'd call them a person who
plays the harp.
I heard
that from somebody earlier today, in the last minute and a half. So I'm going to run with the person who plays the harp on that one. Yes, it is fraught with difficulty, clearly. But one thing that I don't think is as fraught with difficulty is the relationship between the Irish harp and the spoken word. That's vital to the instrument, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. So that tradition goes back to the year approximately 1100, we know for sure. And there's a really interesting historical document which shows the seating plan of a banquet. And it shows that the chieftain, Taoiseach, had its Tánaiste, and then very close by his harper and his bard. And that really shows the integral part they had in that society, and also how much they collaborated. They were sitting next to each other, probably stole bits of food off each other's plate every so often, you know.
And for the bard part of the duo then, how much of a difference does it make having that harp beside you, Alva?
Oh, it's just fantastic. And I suppose it's kind of it's a very contemporary take on an ancient tradition going way back. And I love collaborating with Una, and she's composed these pieces, in recent months, and they're very fresh and very vibrant, and it gives me such a buzz to perform with her.
All right, and you're going to perform one for me now, in fact. Tom Waits, Idrali.
Yep.
Let's have a listen and we can ask you how Tom Waits made his way to Tralee after we hear the piece.
I think you might enjoy the explanation first.
Yeah, I was going to say that. let's not spoil it.
Well, I actually grew up in the town of Tralee, and I wasn't all that interested in the Rose of Tralee, but I was a lot more interested in the music of Tom Waits. So when I discovered that he actually spent his honeymoon in Tralee, I decided to try and imagine what that would have been like.
All right, let's have a listen then. Tom Waits, Idrali.
Digging bug, I trolley. Brawly knee lappin, like trimu lash deer. Lash dig, vina lana in crumha, honeyed yavere a humma. Last mo, vi ail vadri, is in grian like dolphi. Bhí preacháin línte telefóin ag taidh rósanna. Rí rá leanaí ag mwailú áit éigin. Dádaigh sé an tine is bharan gríosach isteach san oíche. Set up in a cottage in Tralee. bed linen was drying out the back, and inside the lovers were bent over the making of a dark sonnet. Farther off, dogs in heat, the sun going down, crows on telephone lines dreaming of roses, and the ruckus of kids like the echo of another world. He stoked the fire so it glimmered long into the night.
Person who plays the harp there, Unity Lanigan, along with person who writes poetry, Anthony Garfwee. And I suppose in this case, person who translates poetry as well. We should explain the origins of the poem there, Alva.
Yeah, so this is taken from The Coast Road, which is published by Gallery Press, and it featured translations by 13 poets, and Tom Waits Comes to Tralee was translated very kindly by John McAuliffe.
Yeah, so we heard, the English words that we heard were those of John McAuliffe, and the Irish words that we heard were your very own.
That's it.
Are all of the pieces that we will get? How did it actually? Before I get into that, how did it work between you? Which did you come first, the pieces of music, or the texts? Maybe if I ask you that, Alva.
So again, I suppose myself and Una we collaborated a couple of years ago, and in the interim, this bilingual book came out by Gallery, and more recently, then Una is working full time now as a musician. So she sent me some tracks of her own compositions, and I was really blown away by them. So we kind of got to work then, matching things up and talking about how maybe there were some natural synchronicities actually that appeared in terms of phrasing and thematically as well and atmospherically. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and even as we were listening there in that final line of the poem, he stoked the fire so long it glimmered long into the night, you just had this gentle diminuendo where you almost let the music fade out. Una,
I'm so delighted you noticed that.
There you go. There you go. I was listening, I promise. But what is the piece? What was that piece, and how did it strike you as fitting in as it does so well with the poem that Alva read for us?
Well, first of all, I just love Alva's work, so it was a great excuse to sit down and just read all of it. So I just got going with my pencil and wrote the themes and the thoughts and the moods I felt as I read a particular poem, and then I went through my own repertoire, and I'm going to come clean here. Oh. I really identify, I suppose, more as a person who plays the harp than a composer, really. I've just been composing an awful lot in the last 5 months.
Yeah.
I've always composed, but I've only been really prolific in the last 5 months. So I actually sent Alva two CDs of music, and the first was entirely pieces of music I played that are composed by other people and arranged by other people, and then the second one's stuff I'd done, but I didn't think she chose them. But then she actually chose all of my own pieces, so I was like, anyway, so
now, did you get the CDs blind, Alva, if you know what I mean? Did you know that everything on one of the CDs was Una's and everything on the other CD was other people's material?
Well, I did, and I suppose, you know, sometimes you can recognise, you know, Carolyn tunes, and I just feel that what she's doing is just really, really just fascinating for me. And even the harp itself, I mean, it looks like a very intimidating instrument from where I'm standing, but she plays it so beautifully, and I think she's doing something really innovative with it.
All right, and I suppose the fact that we're talking about the bilingual poetry book, The Coast Roads, it must mean that the Gaeilge has an important role within it. But in the second piece that you're going to perform for me, in fact, there's another language involved here, I think, isn't there?
There is. So when I was working on my second book, Thus the Gasalagar, I was really obsessed with collecting obscure and unusual languages. So I have a poem about a whistling language in the Pyrenees. And this is about kind of a type of shriek in the Basque country used to express emotion. And Una, would you like to talk about what you've done to the...
Yeah, so there was a lovely, simple parallel here in my own work. I'd composed a tune called The Roller Coaster, just because I got some bad news one day, you know, it was all up in a heap, and this little phrase came to me and I was upset, so I sat down and I worked on my harp for a while, and this tune came out, and I call it The Roller Coaster.
The Roller Coaster. And is Irintzina, which is the title, is that the Basque word for some kind of screech then, Alva?
It is, that's what they call the kind of screech, yes, right. And the translation is by Billy Ramsell.
All right, well, let's hear it then. Irintzina, harp and poet together.
Amishter voor nosna a vaskige. Ik squeele leg ach racht gehard. Ik liggend leg ach gof, gach gul, gach gui, gach gordes isro, geird lorver goidach. Vemish suurk is grogach. Out with it like you, fine Basques, letting every outburst out, out loud, releasing wraths, laments, hosannas, gladnesses, and in a static, yelped, serrated flow. Oh, we would be frog-voiced and full of love.
Frog-voiced and full of love, Vemish Surk is Grogach. That was a piece called Irinsina, the poetry of Alvin Garvey and the music of Unini Lanagon. And they will be playing as part of the International Festival for the Harp on Chúirt Chruachtaire.
And I just want to mention that Alvin mentioned that harp looks intimidating, but it is not. And there are lots of workshops open to the public. For example, an early harp taster, plus a singing class, plus a harp making workshop.
Aren't so you the woman?
You will find all of the information on that.
All right, that doesn't mean I don't have to say anything except the website. Person who plays the harp and a person who knows how to get a plug in. That's Unini Lanagon there. Cairdhnacriche.com will give you all of the details of the harp festival.